Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
You're listening to an Anna's Owl Ministries podcast. If Kong and Godzilla had to have an opponent bigger than Mecha Godzilla, who could it possibly be? What is solo leveling? And why does TJ hate the Ark video game series? Guys, we're going to be answering all those questions and more. Can't wait to jump into this one. It's going to be a fun one. We're back with another What's News. I'm Joshua Knoll. This is TJ Blackwell. We want to shout out one of our patrons, as always. Thank you, Daniel Sigmund. People like Daniel make this show possible. Be like Daniel. Also, you know, join us on Discord. Smash that like button. Smash subscribe. All the good stuff. Appreciate everybody who does support the show. We're at 91 people on YouTube now. So if you help us get to that 100, that's our next goal there. And TJ would really appreciate it. He's not going to do anything special, I don't think. He'll just appreciate it. Yeah. Yeah,
I think that's really good appreciation, though.
Yeah, like a real solid appreciation. And if you're listening to this through the ear edition, make sure you like and, you know, rate and review Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Podchaser. That always helps us out. Helps the algorithms. Lets other people know that they need to check the show out. So with that, you know, as always, on our What's News episode, we like to start with a lightning round. And it's just, we're going to talk about things that aren't our main topics today. That's new, that we find interesting. And I'll kick it off. I've been reading a Scooby-Doo and Batman comic book series that's been coming out. It's just like 90s nostalgia fun. I love it. It's great times. Yeah. TJ, you got any new stuff that's not our main topics you want to shout out real quick?
Something that's not our main topic. I don't know. I feel like Helldivers is new enough and special enough that when it updates, it should count.
What's that?
They took one of the factions out of the game completely. They were like, yeah, we killed all the automatons. Congratulations.
I don't know what any of that means. I've never played this game. But yeah, it does sound interesting. Now. Yeah, I really thought you were going to mention Invincible or Bad Batch.
They're both really good.
Hellblazer. I've heard you talk about Hellblazer a lot, too. Almost as much as I've heard you talk about what's the other one that you keep saying that gets on Christian's nerves?
Valorant?
Yeah, Valorant.
Love Valorant.
Yeah. Do you want to say anything about Invincible?
New up there, though. Invincible Season 2 is great. Fantastic. Good season. Can't wait for the next season.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's one of those where, like, it's fun. It's easy to get into. I love it. But I feel like now that I've already read the comics, it's kind of like, I've read that.
No, it's not the same, though.
Not exactly the same, but...
No, it's really just not close sometimes.
We'll have to talk really about different. That later. Like what? Other than just, like, the order things happen.
The order of things is mostly what changes.
Which does change the story a lot.
Yeah, it does. A ton.
Yeah. I mean, season one, the fact that, like, the reveal with Omni-Man happened to, like, I don't remember. Did it happen earlier in comics or the show? I get the two confused now.
And the
but
show.
But that difference, the comics was, that difference like, was wild.
Yeah. The comics had happened in, like, issue 16.
Okay, so the shows where it happened, like, almost immediately, you find out it was him.
Yeah.
That was a huge difference. That was weird. I mean, good, yeah. But it made the story feel different.
Yeah, but that happened because, like, Robert Kirkman was afraid that it was going to get canceled. when he was building up to that point.
That's fair.
And that's where the story really took off. So when they animated it, they were just like, let's just start there.
Yeah. No, that checks out. What about Bad Batch? Have you been watching season three any?
I actually haven't. I feel bad.
I started the first couple episodes and then I just kind of lost interest pretty quick. I mean, it's not, I don't know. The Bad Batch just hasn't been as interesting to me as Clone Wars was. Like, it's good. It just doesn't draw me in as much.
Yeah, I love the Bad Batch as characters. The show's really good. It's not the Clone Wars, though.
No. No, it's not. I'm trying to think of other ones. Obviously, there's Negaduck, another comic book that I've really been enjoying. Mostly, I feel like I've been doing comic books lately. As far as, like, new stuff that I like. I will, though, say while we're here, tomorrow, for those on YouTube who are watching this live, and in the past for everyone else, Fallout, the TV series, is going to be releasing all 8 episodes. And I'm pretty intrigued to see how it goes. I feel like it hasn't got very good reviews, but reviews have been wrong before. Like this Godzilla X Kong we're going to talk about later. I feel like the reviews were pretty wrong.
We'll see about that.
Also commercials, if we're going to talk about it. The Borderlands movie this summer. That looks like it's going to be a lot better than the Fallout show that's coming out.
I agree.
Yeah. It's funny because I've heard people say the commercial makes it look like it's like just going to be a ripoff of Guardians of the Galaxy. And the more I thought about it, I was like, I mean, sort of, but it did come before that version of Guardians of the Galaxy. That's just what the game was like.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Borderlands 2 came up before Guardians of the Galaxy, and I'm pretty sure they talk about King Shark in Borderlands 2 and reference him.
That's funny.
Which is really funny.
Yeah. Also, just the level of hype that I have for Jack Black as Claptrap, unmatchable. Like, I can't imagine any other casting in that particular movie making me as excited. Well, that's just wonderful.
I don't think I can imagine anyone else being able to do it as well as Jack Black.
God, yeah. Man, it's going to be great. All right, well, that's all I had for the light run. Do you have anything else you wanted to lift up?
Oh, Kung Fu Panda 4 is bad.
What is it? Have you seen it?
Yeah, it's not as good as any of the other ones. Not even half.
That is sad. That is a very sad way to end the lightning round, TJ.
Yeah.
I've been looking forward to watching that.
You still should. You have bad opinions.
Yeah, I'm still going to watch it.
You might like it.
Just because it's bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So on to the main part of our show. We're going to start with the lesser ones and build up to Godzilla X Kong. First thing on the docket, TJ, I have no idea what this is. Solo Leveling. You want to talk about your other main pick other than Godzilla X Kong, what this is and why people should care?
Sung Jinwoo is the GOAT. Solo Leveling is, I feel like, pretty widely regarded as one of the better webcomics of all time. You know, so far, I guess. It's pretty young as a medium. But if you haven't read it and you have read manhwa before or webcomics, this is the one. If you haven't read any at all, this is the one. It's kind of like an anti-isekai a little bit. That's how it felt on, you know, well, now I'm talking about reading it, but he kind of brings video game logic into the real world, his real world, which is fantastical and they have powers and stuff. But imagine if there were dungeons in the real world and certain people were born with the potential to become hunters. They get special powers and they're able to go into these dungeons, fight the monsters so that the time limit doesn't run out and the monsters can break out of that dungeon into the real world. That's what we're dealing with here. Kind of like a zero to hero story.
Hercules?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Bless my soul. But he is the weakest hunter in the world, but still a hunter, so like way stronger than most humans, which is just really funny because all of the hunters are like, wow, he's horrible. Why are you taking him with us? He's so weak. Everybody watch his back. He'll probably die in this like a sea level dungeon. But it's funny, and the growth we see from Sung Jinwoo is amazing, coming to terms with becoming powerful, and he's kind of got like that humble hero thing. He's Steve Rogers, basically, when the series starts. Super weak, but willing to sacrifice himself to save others. And watching him grow is amazing.
So I, for some reason, I had this like idea from somewhere. Maybe I've heard this from Christian before about solo leveling, where like a lot of people have to level basically as teams, but he is able to on his own level up. And that's like what makes him special.
Yeah. Well, he's actually the only person who's able to level up, period.
Wait, what? Just everybody else is just stuck?
Yeah. Well, everyone else kind of has like their potential. That's what they can hit. He doesn't. I don't want to spoil it because I really believe everyone should watch it.
Oh, okay.
I think Christian's crazy. I don't think it loses its way near the end. But I definitely see how a lot of people think that. As far as the anime goes, though, this I would consider a must watch. You got to check this out. It's going to be even longer next season. Season 2 is going to be 24. I think we got 10 for the first season. And the first season ends right when the story really picks up to me. Hmm. And it's, man, please watch it because it is really fantastic.
All right. Man.
Oh, so I will say, though, the solo thing, that's because really what you're talking about is that people join raiding groups to clear these dungeons, and he can do it by himself.
That sounds like he's not the weakest hero, then.
He's not. He dies when he is the weakest hero.
Oh.
And then he kind of awakens.
Fascinating. So as far as like deeper themes and like the bigger questions, like what do you think this like the purpose of the show is? Are they trying to get us to think about something specific, or is it just for fun?
I think it's mostly for fun, but there are definitely lessons in there about not forgetting your roots, fighting for a cause, remembering who you are, I guess, staying humble.
Humility is a good one. All right. Christian has another comment. People can have second awakenings, but only Name can level up as his own special feature of his power set.
Yeah.
I think I tracked that. I think I know what he means.
Yeah.
Interesting. So if you had to rate this 0 to 10.
9.
Okay.
I love this.
That's high for a TJ rating. That's pretty high. All right, then. Well, do you have anything else you wanted to add about this one before we moved on to our next topic?
I really mean it. Watch this and then read the entire series. The series isn't that long.
I might. You're convincing me. Just because TJ doesn't give many things this much of a high praise. 7.5. Christian gives it 7.5 out of 10.
Christian hates it when things change.
I understand. I understand the sentiment. Well, speaking of things of varying opinions, Arc, the animated series. I actually really enjoy the series. Let me reword this. I really feel like the show is not that great. I just really enjoy the concepts of the plot, if that makes sense. A lot of the themes and concepts they're playing with, I really love. So what happens in this show? And I'm going to break down the show a little bit, and then I have to ask TJ why he hates the game, because I know nothing about the game. And the show is based off of a game, animated series. The only reason I watched it is like it just randomly dropped one day, and people were like, hey, there's a new cartoon. It has David Tennant in it, as well as, I forget who, is it like Russell Crowe? Is he in there? There's like, yep. Literally, the voice actors in this series are insane. It's like, what? Like, just look up who all is in Arc the Animated Series, and you're just going to not understand or believe why these people are all working on the same project together.
It's so crazy because they just released it out of nowhere. There were no ads. There were no nothing.
Yeah, I knew there nothing about
one
this.
One day, we're like, here's Arc. Also, Sandra Oh and David Tennant and Russell Crowe. Hugh Jackman. Insane voice cast.
It really was. It was crazy. I went in with literally no knowledge. I'm watching this because I want to see what character David Tennant's voice is attached to. That's literally it. So I'm going into this, and I just gotta let you know, at first I thought this was just like a little kids animated series. And I was like, oh, okay. When the first death happened, I was like, oh, shocked. I was really shocked on how it was portrayed and everything. I was like, okay, this is not a kids show. It's not like a comedy. Like if you think of like adult cartoons, it's not like that. I guess it's closer to like Invincible kind of, if you're talking about like what kind of show it is. The main character is from our time, ends up on an island with a bunch of people from various other times, whether it's like ancient Rome, old England, whatever. Everybody's on this island together from different times, caveman, whatever. There are dinosaurs and stuff on the island. They don't know when or where they are. One person suggests maybe this is purgatory. They have no idea what's happening here. So you get some flashbacks of her like personal life and what's going on. And it really kind of led me to think, maybe this is purgatory. Maybe she died. But our main character was a paleontologist. And the reason I really enjoy the series is A, the concept of all these people from all these different times on like old dinosaurs. Dinosaurs are cool. This is fun for me. David Tennant's voice. But also just kind of seeing, you see her personal evolution. They talk about the evolution of like physically animals going into humans, that kind of stuff. They really get into a lot of those conversations about evolution, as well as how society evolves. So you see like the people from the Roman culture having certain understandings, and because of their preconceived notion of what women could do, and now, you know, et cetera, they were simply just not prepared for certain things to happen. And she, having known her history, was able to kind of play to some of these other people's weaknesses because their culture has not quite moved past certain points where they don't fully have the grasp on things. And being from the future helps because something about what they prioritize and their values. But just kind of seeing like the evolution of societies from one person to the next and where they came from and the timeline of humanity. Also seeing her personal growth and just kind of comparing how we grow as people to how we evolve as society compared to how animals have literally evolved. Just having those three things there together, like it just conceptually was a lot of fun. It was really interesting to just see it go. I don't want to spoil it. I do think everyone should watch it. If you are into animation at all, it was a good watch. Also dinosaurs. Who could not like dinosaurs? And some of the tech and like mystical stuff going on. It was really cool. TJ, however, has played the game it's based off of and hates it. TJ, please tell us why you hate the game this is based off of.
The animated series definitely has more legs under it, I'd say. Despite the fact there are, I think, 194 different creatures that you can tame and rod most of in Ark, I'm not sure if I've ever played a game where I was consistently as bored as Ark Survival.
I just like how we went from like such high praise from TJ to such like detrimental disdain. Is disdain the right word?
Yes.
Yeah. You just would never play this again.
Hate it so much.
When I first mentioned this to you, I was like, oh, this is so good. I really like the concepts of blah. And then I feel like at some point you were like, how, there's not even enough story. How do they do this? Is that like, am I remembering that part of the conversation, right?
Yeah.
What's the story of the game? Is there a story in the game?
That this part I could be wrong on, because I definitely, the game, the whole thing is like grind central. I might have just not played enough to get to the good story bits.
That's fair.
But I'm pretty sure there are none. I could be wrong, though. But I just don't like it.
I looked up the game just a little bit. And the one thing I got was someone complained that in the show, the character David Tennant plays shows up way earlier than he does in the game. And I was like, well, I'm already not interested in the game because that was a cool bad guy, like a really cool bad guy.
Yeah, good. So I know I'm pretty sure they started adding story in the first DLC. I don't know. I could give it another shot, but I definitely still do not like the core mechanics of the game.
Does the game just kind of like collect dinosaurs instead of Pokemon and like have them do things?
No, that would be way better. You've played Minecraft, right?
Very little.
Well, it's like that, but it sucks.
So all of the tedious parts, but none of the reward parts, basically?
Yeah, I think the problem that I have is that the game expects you to grind so much and play for so long to get anything accomplished that the reward is there if you're willing to play it for 100 or 200 hours.
Yeah, it doesn't sound
worth it. Because like I've seen my roommate have some fun on his ARK accounts.
Is it like a phone game or is it like a platformer?
No.
It's a platformer. I've literally never heard of this thing.
I don't think you've played any games that are close enough for me to say.
Hmm. Fascinating.
It's an MMO. Have you ever played, like, did you play Final Fantasy 14?
Oh, I've played an MMO before. I played 12. Destiny.
Oh.
Yeah, Destiny was fun.
It's sort of like, it's not really like Destiny.
Like Destiny, but
it is an MMO. It's an open world survival, like crafting, dinosaur taming game.
Interesting.
Which is insane that it's boring.
Hmm. Yeah, like there's too much going on for this to feel like it should be boring. I think part of what I like about the show, too, so going back to the show, I really enjoyed that, like, there's enough people from some of these different cultures that they're able to get together. So you just have, like, pocket cultures on the island of, like, indigenous people or Roman people, and you're like, ah, this is fun. They just came up with some excuse to have people from different timelines show up with dinosaurs. Perfect. Yeah. Yeah. And at the same time, we're talking about like mental health, and the main character is in a same-sex relationship. You know, she is a lesbian woman who I don't remember if she was married or she was just living with her girlfriend or what. But, you know, you have this like conceptually, some of the people can't even comprehend the idea that someone would be in an open relationship with another woman like that. So just really interesting to see like these cultures collide and the values of different times kind of going. And of course, you know, they do have very much like they're pushing certain agendas and stuff because that's what shows do now. I think that's what they've always done. But, you know, everybody that's talks really about funny, it now. Though. So now it's more blatant.
That's really funny. Dinosaurs? Why? No way.
Lesbian?
Dinosaurs. Huh?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. No, it's pretty interesting. I think one of my favorite things is like early on, and they remain important characters, and they're a lot more threatening later on. But some of the main bad guys, she kind of beats pretty early because she's just like, hey, I know all this stuff about the specific time period that we're all in about dinosaurs because I'm a paleontologist. But all these people are just assuming she doesn't know anything because she's a woman. So she just acts really like the annoying ditzy girl character from like old TV shows. She acts like that just long enough to play everybody. It was very amusing for me, especially because they don't keep doing that. They learn from their mistakes and become much more menacing bad guys. But the fact that that was their first interaction was pretty great.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of really funny like perspectives you can get here.
Yeah.
Because everyone from before like the mid to late 1800s has no idea what a dinosaur is.
That is true.
Just absolutely no clue.
I think the one guy kept saying something about how like he found these beasts and these dragons and proto dragons, I think he called them. I'm like, yeah, proto dragons. He's not completely wrong.
He is.
I could see where he's coming from.
But yeah, that's super funny to me.
Yeah.
Because you had someone from like 2024, paleontologists, and they're like, oh, I know all of these.
Yeah. No, it's pretty entertaining. Yeah. Especially because like they portray the paleontologist well. Like it's not just she knows a lot about dinosaurs. It's also like plant life, snails, bugs. And it's so interesting because, you know, most other cultures until like more modern times could not have cared less about studying plants. You know, if the plant does something for you, they'll know about it. But it's not like they had like these categorized every single thing. She's just genuinely fascinated with everything out there. And most of the people who've survived are just warriors from other cultures. They have this one smart lady. It's great. Also, thanks to mystical sci-fi shenanigans, Super Gun appears. And it was just really funny how many people couldn't figure out pull trigger. That was great for me.
Yeah.
It wasn't a lot, but it was enough for it to be entertaining. They're like, ah, how do we make this thing work? Button.
Yeah. I feel like most people could figure out a gun.
Yeah. I mean, if they were given more time, I think they would have figured it out. But it just showed up, and she was the only one who had the concept of gun. Yeah. Yeah. It was a good time. Anyway, moving on to the main event today. That's not ARK. Godzilla, X-Kong, the new Empire.
Hey guys, Christian here. Have you ever wondered why you should become a patron?
Well, let me help you out. Because if you become a patron, what you can do is have live access to our YouTube exclusives like Comic Book Ketchup, Drinks with Teachers, Manga Mustard, and a companion series that go along with our annual theme. You can be there live, commenting with us. We really want you there. You also get access to exclusive merch. We have t-shirts, mugs, handbags, long sleeve shirts, all over the place for you, for your help in helping us. Also, we have extra bonus questions for you to look at. We have 4 to 8 times a month doing that. We have exclusive Discord channels for you, discounts at our store, access to any future D&D campaigns, and you can easily access all the patron content through our Spotify page at the top where it says exclusive content for subscribers. Also, one of the new things we're adding is voting privileges for future episode topics. We're going to be doing specific things for you, voted by the patrons. And you also get that extra satisfaction of just helping us out. And we appreciate all you do.
TJ, Godzilla, you and him, I think we're born twins around the same time. I know y'all are closely related. What did you think about the film? Let's just immediate thoughts.
Man, I love Monster Fight.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was most people's. I saw I think my favorite photo anyone shared so far is it has like all of the different movies that are part of the legendary films like Kong, Godzilla, Godzilla vs. Kong, all of them. And it had the Rotten Tomato score and the audience score. And how Rotten Tomatoes started high, then went low, and then up a little bit, and then down again. And the audience score just continues to increase. like Rotten Tomatoes were like, oh, Godzilla vs. Kong, this wasn't good. Godzilla X Kong, no, this story sucks. Audience, Monster Fight, good. We like Monster Fight.
Yeah, I absolutely do think, though, that this is the worst, critically, this is the worst MonsterVerse movie.
There really was not very much story. Godzilla played such a like no role. Godzilla was just here so that Godzilla would be here. Like this, yeah. Truly, I feel like it was a Kong film, and we need to include Godzilla because, wait a minute, we have rights to Godzilla.
Yeah, in KSCF, I agree with completely. That's Christian. This I do think is the worst MonsterVerse film. If you're trying to watch it like it's a movie. It's not really a movie. It's like a Royal Rumble.
Yeah. Yeah. We're just here to see what are we capable of with CGI now. Tune back in 4 years to see what's next.
Yeah. This is the opposite side of Godzilla. Because we had Godzilla Minus One, which is a flawless movie, which is beautiful and profound. It shows the morality of Godzilla, how humanity reacts to and handles Godzilla. And this is just not that in the slightest.
No. Man, I did love it, though.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Yeah.
Like, I would definitely watch it again.
Yeah, it's one of those where, like, I do feel like you have to see this in theaters. Mostly because the primary draw is giant things are smashing things. It feels more giant when it's on a giant screen.
Yeah, I do love, I absolutely love all the kaiju fights in this movie. They're all really good. When people are on screen, it gets a little boring. A little contrived.
Yeah. How do you feel about I don't remember his name, but the new character who was just Peter Quill, but in this universe?
No, he's not new.
What? He was in it before?
Trapper
He felt like, I don't remember the humans. The humans aren't important.
I don't remember which one Trapper was. Trapper was present.
I believe you. So, I do have a question, though. And we're going to get around to this again. But I thought Mothra had already been in this, and that Mothra was just like a minor titan that they found somewhere else. This made it seem like Mothra is a whole entirely different thing and a spiritual, like, superpower, like, she's of the same level of Kong and Godzilla, but also spiritual.
Okay, Trapper was new to the movie. Thanks,
according to Christian. Thank you.
I could have sworn I'd seen him somewhere.
Yeah, just
maybe it's just his actor.
I think you're confusing him with the guy from Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, but I could have sworn he was in the series before.
I don't know, man. But what my Mothra question, was Mothra in one of the other movies?
Yes.
I thought so. But is it the same Mothra?
Yeah, Mothra went into like hibernation in King of the Monsters.
Oh, is that what happened? The second Godzilla movie?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, they just kind of put Trapper in there, and it feels like we're calling back to him.
Yeah, they do that a lot. And they get away with it mostly, because I feel like most people who watch this are like, I must have forgotten. Must have just forgotten that guy.
Yeah, but whatever. Kaiju veterinarian. That's cool.
Also, but Mothra wasn't like a glowing spiritual super god the last time we saw Mothra, right?
I don't know. I feel like she was about half and half.
Oh, okay. So there was, we're going to jump around a little bit. If you had to rate it 0 to 10. So the movie's base is pretty simple. The last movie, Kong was dumped into Hollow Earth. So the center of the Earth is hollow. He was there. Anyway, he was dropped off there. Godzilla's kind of the king of the monsters. He's on the surface. You know, they just beat Mechagodzilla, etc. We found out that Godzilla is, in fact, stronger than Kong. Whatever. This movie happens. Kong is kind of searching through Hollow Earth. Goes into some trouble. Meets the Scar King. Scar King was super cool, by the way. That was a new Titan to the movie. Who was just basically a different kind of Kong. Different giant ape. But he was cool. And who was the original Titan that he found and is like basically trained to work for him?
Oh, Shimo, the ancient Titan.
Shimo was cool. Ice Godzilla. Ice Godzilla cool.
Yeah.
So they're trying to find a way to the surface. It turns out Godzilla back in the ancient times had trapped them down below. He is kind of aware that they're getting out somehow. How? Who cares? Don't think about it too much. Godzilla is like going to nuclear plants, absorbing energy, going to like places where solar energy is at. Why are some places just trapped the sun better? I don't know. Godzilla's doing things. He's just powering up the whole movie. He's not really doing anything but powering up until the last fight.
Yeah. Like, you get to see Godzilla fight. You get to see Godzilla kill Scylla, which, you know, is one of the cooler. I think Scylla actually has, as far as like the non-Godzilla Kong King Ghidorah titans, I think Scylla has the most appearances. Because Scylla's in Skull Island.
That is interesting.
But they die here, so.
Yeah, they won't be seen after this, because it was a very definite death. Like, not a maybe they got beat. They're dead.
Oh, yeah. But Kong, not Kong, Godzilla goes to kill Scylla, because he just didn't like what Scylla had going on. He goes and kills Tiamat, Monsterverse Tiamat, to just steal the power that Tiamat hoards. And then he takes a nap.
Yeah, he does just take a nap. Meanwhile, Kong is slowly getting parts of himself replaced with cyber parts. He's becoming transhuman, but ape. He gets like a robot part to help his hand after he gets frostbite. He gets a tooth replaced with some kind of metal thing. I'm not sure about that.
Metal tooth.
We just want cyber giant Kong. That's what we want. So it happened. He makes friends with a baby giant ape, which I guess the only thing visually that bothered me in this movie, I think this was visually one of the most appealing films I've ever seen. Like, it was just the pretty things were pretty. The fighting scenes were like bombastic. Like, everything was just so well done visually, except for when the tiny ape joined them in that last fight in Rio, which why they keep going to Rio in these films. The tiny ape was so much
really cool in the background.
That's true. But tiny ape, mind you, I understand that he's giant, so he should still be bigger than the buildings. It just didn't visually look right when he was put in our world. Like, it was just something off.
Very funny.
Yeah, it was funny, though. Also, it was funny when one of the Titans did that thing where they, you know, all the Titans always have to roar before they fight, and Kong just punched him in the face. I laughed so much. Like, that was great. Like, oh, boom.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
It's so good. The final fight, all of the Titan fights are amazing.
Yes.
Really.
Yeah.
The choreography is great.
You said Shining was new,
zero
too.
Zero gravity?
Oh, yeah. The zero gravity Titan fight. Fantastic. Why was it happening? I'm still not sure.
Yeah. This is exactly what Turn Your Brain Off kaiju movie is supposed to be like.
Yeah, it really turned your brain off at a few points.
Yeah.
Man, is it great. Also, this is just me conspiracying. I don't know. This is just me theorizing. They reference aliens a few times. And at this point, Kong's over in control of Hollow Earth at the end of the film. Godzilla has the surface. I feel like aliens might be next.
Well, King Ghidorah is an alien.
Really?
Yeah.
Have they fought him yet?
Yeah.
He was in King of the Monsters, right?
Yeah.
Hmm. Can he get better and then come back? Mecha King Ghidorah. There we go.
That would be terrifying.
Oh, man. Also, side note, have you noticed that they're finally showing us the LexCorp Mech Godzilla in the Justice League vs. Godzilla vs. Kong comic book series?
It's pretty cool.
It is. I love it. Anyway, so 0 to 10, how would you rate Godzilla X Kong?
8.
I was going to go 7.
I'm going to go 8.
We love you, Christian. Have a great day. Yeah. Christian gave it the highest rating. He's not part of this, though.
Yeah, Christian called you a loser.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm still going 7. I loved it, but I don't, like, I would rewatch it in theaters. I don't know if I'd rewatch it at home. I mean, I have a nice setup, so I might. It'd still be cool, but.
It is so perfectly schlocky and cheesy. It's just brain-off entertainment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the only thing, the most disappointing thing for me was I was like, man, this was a perfect theater experience. I should have gotten popcorn and an icy. I just went in and watched it. I messed up.
Yeah, like a freak. It's so funny to watch Josh go to the movies.
And not get anything.
Not get anything at all. Just walk in and sit down.
Well, this one, I admit, was a mistake. I should have got some popcorn.
Yeah.
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 It needed it.
It's great. It's so corny. You're like, oh, King Kong has frostbite. What are we going to do? And the brand new kaiju veterinarian acts like he's been here the whole time. Trapper is like, Project Powerhouse.
Yeah, I've just had robotic parts that attach to Kong this whole time. And we're going to give him a robot hand. And he's going to use it to fight Godzilla. Yeah. Not for any particular reason. Just because Godzilla wanted to fight. I thought it was so funny when he went to the surface to recruit Godzilla. He's like, stop, stop. And Godzilla's like, hell nah. I'm going to eat you. Mm-hmm. God, it was funny.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that's great about the Titan movies, too. In superhero films, you have to like, wait a minute. Did our superheroes just destroy the city? That's not good. They should be more responsible than that. Not in a Titan film. No part of you ever thinks, wait a minute. Kong should care more about this city. He's a giant gorilla. He's just here to smash things.
Yeah, he's a smart gorilla. He don't live here.
Yeah, he don't care about you. Oh, man.
But it is, there are some really cool minor details, too. Like, I really like seeing how Kong survives in Hollow Earth. Show that he is an ape. He is intelligent. He's not just really strong. And he's setting traps to, you know, defend himself when he's outnumbered. Because in his mind, he's the last of his species until he finds all of the ones that try to kill him.
The traps were cool, though.
The traps were really cool.
Yeah.
I love it when monkey use tools.
Yeah, it makes me happy. Especially giant monkey use tools. Giant monkey use tools is cool.
Yeah.
There were some deeper themes, though. There were a few things, and I had to really think about it, though. Like, I really had to think to figure out what questions were the people making this movie wanting us to think about. So I had two. I had two I came away with. I think there was this level of what's technological, what's natural, and what's spiritual. Because, like, you have this, like, the girl meeting her other tribe in Hollow Earth, and it's, like, spiritual, but there were certain things that looked like it was technology. Like, oh, this is tech. And I was like, no, it's not. And then you think it's the tribe, and then you actually find out that it's Mothra who built that thing in the first place, that, like, cool camouflage stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, you even get like some of the, and I think that just goes throughout the whole series of like Mecha Godzilla, real Godzilla, you know, these cybernetic parts that we're adding to Kong. And just kind of, they mention a lot, like, this is the natural world. You know, Trapper did a lot of that like hippie vibe stuff. And this is the natural world. This is what it's like. Trees just eat people. Also, the tree eating that guy was so funny. But yeah, I think that was one. That was one that I saw. Could you see that in the film too, or am I like just digging?
Oh, you're digging.
But it was there, right?
Yeah. No, I agree. No, I mean, it does go like it shows. It is a very like natural order esque movie. It shows that the strongest do survive, and it shows why humans are at the top of the food chain because big robot arm.
Yes, big robot arm. Yeah, the other thing was also just a side note, I liked how they didn't portray the indigenous people as like less technological or any of that. They were different. They still had their own technological advantages and everything else, just different. I was going to say, I think part of why I thought of this was because we just recorded with Dr. Ord on Whole Church Podcast, and he mentioned all that, how like everything has its own conscious, its own like decision, spiritual apparatus kind of stuff. And I think that was just on my mind on how everything might have its own spiritual components. So I think I was just thinking about it. I blame Dr. Ord for that thought. Anyway.
The panpsychist view.
Yes. Yeah. Which is interesting concept. This is the only other thing I could find. And TJ, tell me if I'm just wrong and you have other thoughts, because I hope you found something else that's deep in this film, because I don't think there just was much deep. There is a concept of what is home. And part of this, since you study biology, something you could speak a little bit more directly to, actually. So dropping Kong in Hollow Earth, I feel like the humans at the end of Kong vs. Godzilla were like wiping their hands off. Yep, we did it. Got him somewhere else. Good times. Whereas in real world, we know that if you introduce a new species to something, or if you take a species out of a certain ecology, everything is affected by that. And what we see in this movie is, A, Kong is struggling, trying to find a home. And then when he thinks he finds it, it changes everything. Godzilla all of a sudden has to get involved because maybe he's breaking this dark, evil Titan loose. And it's like, what? Wait, why is all this going on? And at the same time, you have the little girl who's feeling these vibrations in the earth or whatever, and finds out that there's other people, the indigenous people that are like her in Hollow Earth. And even the question of like, is her home with them or is it with the lady who raised her? So we have these questions of home and these questions of ecology and how does one person or one creature or the removal of a creature impact the whole system?
Right. So really, the situation we had with Kong is not ideal. They don't do that in real life. What is basically a domesticated animal, you don't just release into the wild until you test them and make sure they're actually ready for that. It's not really possible to do that, to return a giant gorilla to Hollow Earth. But that is where he was called, and it is where he was, or was supposed to be, endemic to. Mm-hmm. Iwi is kind of a special case because her people were endemic to Skull Island, and they just all died.
Yeah.
Because they're, you know, the Iwi prophecy does specifically say like an Iwi from Skull Island will come to Hollow Earth. But
yeah, I don't know.
They definitely tried there.
It's interesting, though, because I remember even hearing like there's I forget what it was. There was a certain type of wolf that they were considering in our real world, considering reintroducing to parts of Western America. This was a couple of years ago. I remember reading about this. Because it had been removed from that area, like it had died out, and they realized that it really affected the ecology in a lot of negative ways. But there was a concern of if we just suddenly introduced them again too fast, that would hurt the whole system worse. So, like, I don't imagine real scientists thinking we could just introduce a creature to a whole new system and this will be fine.
No, never.
Yeah. But like outside of like that, that's it. Those are the whole deep questions. What is home, for an animal? You know, they get used to a certain environment and you have to help them get used to that environment and get that environment used to them, or else you're just gonna put the whole system in shock and everything will go crazy. For a human, I'm not sure. Does the same thing apply to humans, you think, DJ?
I think it can easily.
Could you elaborate?
No.
Well, that is always your answer when I ask you to elaborate on something.
But yeah, no, if you put like the city boy in the country, you don't know what he's doing out there. You take someone who's lived a short walk from the grocery store his entire life to Campobello, South Carolina. He's not going to know he needs to drive 40 minutes to get his groceries.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's true. And I even think it's funny when, like, people up north come down here and they're like, wait a minute. It's 6 p.m. on a Sunday. Why is everything closed? This is the South, boy. That's how it works. Now, I guess the people who work at Chipotle who just moved from New York, and they're so confused about Sundays. And I'm like, that's just how it is. I'm amazed we don't close early Sundays.
I wish.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, I see that. I also see, like, there is this innate, like, you want to be around other people like yourself, whether it's people who share the same faith, the same fandoms, all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, and you know, I can actually speak a little bit from experience here. There is almost a shock and a thing I think we have to caution ourselves against when some of your fandoms and stuff change. So let me take, for example, I got three good examples in my own life, and maybe TJ has some. I love Supernatural. I got into it on my own because I'm like, that's just who I am. I'll get into something. I love it. And then I started being introduced to other Supernatural fans and decided and realized I hate them. Like, I don't hate the people, but like the culture around Supernatural fandom is not a culture I want to be a part of, but I still love the show. So it kind of put, that was like a shock for me when I first met other Supernatural fans. I'm like, man, I don't want to hang out with these guys. Or when the MCU got big and I had grown up reading Marvel comics, and all of a sudden, wait a minute, this thing I grew up on. And I was like, I love Captain America. And everybody's like, who's that? Now all of a sudden everybody knows something about Captain America and Iron Man and all that. And that was hard for me to get used to because it was kind of like a, I don't know. I don't want to feel like a hipster, I don't think, but like to an extent, it was kind of like a, I'm the only one who likes this. It was kind of like a fun thing about myself. And now it's like, oh no, everybody likes this now. Now it's just normal. Or how the shows themselves change. I loved Doctor Who. Matt Smith came along. Everybody else started liking Doctor Who. And then it started getting a lot of money and became very Americanized. And I was like, man, the fandom really changed the show. And I don't know if it was in positive ways. So I feel like you get that kind of ecology. And you know, same thing with church stuff. I moved from a low liturgical church to a high liturgical church. And that's a bit of a shock. Like, it's hard to get used to. TJ, thoughts, comments, shared experiences?
None.
Do you enjoy?
I've never had experience.
Do you enjoy the fandom culture of every fan thing that you're a fan of?
Oh, no.
No? What's the one that you don't like?
I don't know. I feel like most things, I actually, if the fandom's bad enough, I just don't interact with the media anymore.
That's enough for you to just stop interacting with the media.
No, Undertale. I really like Undertale, Deltarune, and I'm not a big fan of the fandom. At large. There are plenty of Undertale fans that are normal people.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not the people that I have a problem with when it comes to, like, Supernatural fans. There are plenty of people that I love that are Supernatural fans. I just don't like the way that they're fans. Something about the fandom itself is just not enjoyable.
My Hero. My Hero Academia. Big on that one.
I've heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you do if it's like a fandom, or sometimes the fandoms just change? Like, I can't think of anything specific, but like, you know, if your church culture changed, even if a culture that you're a part of changes, or you find yourself all of a sudden attracted to a new thing and you just don't vibe with the culture, how do you handle that?
Hard question.
Yeah, that's why I threw it to TJ, the world's greatest podcaster.
No, really, you just got to stay in your own lane, be yourself, enjoy what you enjoy.
Yeah, I think just because you enjoy something doesn't mean you need to be part of the culture. And when it comes to like church, or I'm trying to think about things like even school, if you're in college, you know, sometimes you can be there for the spiritual edification or the education and not have to partake in the people. Or maybe, you know, you can find a different church. There's always that. But it's a challenge. It is a challenge when you find yourself in a spot where you're like, I just can't deal with the people here, the system here, the environment just isn't one that I feel like I belong in. That's a hard thing to cope with and deal with. I think you can like something without being a part of that. You can be a fan of something or be part of a church without necessarily being part of the culture that you don't like, or maybe invite. I don't know, DJ. I'm trying to think, like, maybe is it possible to like start your own culture? Is that a thing? Like, yeah. Hey, I don't like this part of the fandom. Let me just find my own friends who like this, or I don't like this part of the church, so I'm going to make friends people and not everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Is that a good way to handle this, maybe?
Yeah, well, all the people that I introduced Guilty Gear to are not like regular Guilty Gear fans, so.
Hmm. Yeah, be like TJ, introduce other people to the church that you like, and then just hang out with them. Or Supernatural.
Maybe not.
Yeah, introduce other people to Supernatural. I wonder if that's what the guy who introduced me to Supernatural did. He just realized he didn't like the other fans, so he had me start liking it.
Hmm. Probably.
That's my new hypothesis. I think that's what happened. Anyway, guys, watch Godzilla X Kong. Big things smash other big things. It's great. Yeah. That's all I got to say, right?
Yeah.
All right. Godzilla has informed us it's time for the wrap-up. So, TJ, what we do, instead of a recommendation on these episodes, we have everything we mentioned, speed round, whatever. If you had to pick one thing of everything we mentioned, say, hey, if you haven't seen any of this, watch this. What are you picking?
Solo Leveling.
Hmm, that's fair. I'm actually going to go with Invincible. I love Godzilla X Kong. It was big, you know, it's a lot of fun fighting stuff, but Invincible is just a better story. Also, I like Ark, but Invincible is a better story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with that one. Hey, guys, if you enjoyed this, make sure you rate and review our show on Podchaser, Apple Podcast, or Spotify. If you're on YouTube, smash that like and subscribe button. Again, big shout out to Daniel Sigmund. You rock, man. Thank you for making this happen. We couldn't do this show without supporters like Daniel. Guys, thank you so much. We appreciate you. Check out our Discord, our store, our Patreon, all that stuff. And of course, we need you all to do one very important thing. Remember that we're all a chosen people, a geekdom, a priest.
Make sure you follow us on Instagram, catch us live at events we are holding or attending, get updates when we post new episodes of the podcast, see our other favorite content that we lift up and support, as well as just see our beautiful faces and engage with us through messages. Maybe watch a reel and give us the feedback of what you think of the show.
Hey friends, this is your pal, Will Rose, and I have some exciting news. Systematic Geekology will return to Theology Beer Camp this year, October 17th through the 19th in Denver, Colorado. And we hope that you can join us. We are a part of Theology Beer Camp in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, at my home church in my hometown. And that year, Theology Beer Camp was called the God Pods. And then we were in Missouri, a part of the Geek Stage. Yes, we had a whole entire Geek Stage where we had workshops and speakers and had incredible conversations. And Theology Beer Camp last year was called the God Pods Strike Back. So you kind of see where this is going. And so this year, the theme is the return of the God Pods. And so if you head over to Eventbrite and follow God Pods 2024, or hop over to Instagram, follow it there. And if you enter promo code Geekshire, you see what we did there? Yeah. Wilbo Baggins approves. If you enter Geekshire, all caps, no spaces, you'll get $25 off your ticket price. Geekshire, all caps, no spaces, Geekshire. Yeah, say it with me, Geekshire. Enter that, you get money off your ticket, and you can join us and hang out and drink beer and have great food. And even if you don't drink beer, you can have incredible food and beverages and conversations with your favorite host here at Systematic Geekology. The Geek Stage is growing. I'm proud of that, and we thank Trip for this opportunity. We hope to see you at Theology Beer Camp, the Return of the God Pods 2024.